In this episode, we are going to look back at 2020, but not in a way you might think for a safety podcast. I'll explain more as we get started. All right, everybody, before we get into today's topic, I want to remind everybody, if your business is reopening after any kind of closure due to COVID, or you've continued to remain open, but you're struggling with how to mark your facilities to ensure physical distancing and relay important information about safety and health as it relates to COVID, I want you to go visit our friends over at Mighty Line Floor Tape. Mighty Line has some great products for you to mark your floors, whether it be the stand here, the 6 feet distancing, or just floor tape to denote lanes of travel. They have everything you need to mark your facility. So hit the link in the show notes, visit our friends at Mighty Line Floor Tape. They are incredible partners in safety. I can't thank them enough for their support of the podcast. Again, Mighty Line Tape for all of your floor marking needs. All right, so 2020 was crazy, right? Of course, you know, the pandemic, you can't do a recap of 2020 without talking about the COVID-19 pandemic. But I want to focus on something that is a little more in our lane as safety professionals. And it's not the technical stuff, although, you know, I like to mix in a lot of technical safety, breaking down regs, standards, interpretations, things like that. But in this episode, I want to focus on us as a professional. I want to focus on how we conduct ourselves and communicate when things are happening, like a global pandemic that is very disruptive in the workplace. Stress levels were high. Folks didn't know if they were going to be able to come back to work. Folks that did come back to work, things were different. They had to do different things. So I think as safety professionals, one thing we can always look at, myself included, is how we communicate in general, and whether we communicate with confidence and instill confidence and positivity. And what I'm getting at is, I subscribe to a service that I use all the time called Grammarly. And if you haven't heard of Grammarly, I'll have a link for you to go check it out. But I have the Grammarly keyboard installed on my phone. I have the Grammarly app on my laptop. And I even have it installed to review documents that I'm writing as well. Grammarly is such a great service that, you know, it helps you become a better writer. It doesn't just do spell check. It will actually check for tone, feelings, and emotion. You kind of set some parameters when you start writing a document. You could say, hey, this document or whatever I'm writing is for professionals that are knowledgeable. It's a technical piece that I'm writing. I want to inform, or you say, I want to inspire. I want to tell a story. I want it to be, you know, happy or positive. I want it to be urgent. You know, you set these parameters and it looks for key phrases, punctuation, and then offers suggestions to kind of steer you toward that overall theme that you set up at the beginning. And I would encourage anybody that does a fair amount of writing, if you have to write emails, for example, I had to write several emails related to the pandemic to help inspire a team or something like that. But I ran it through Grammarly. I, you know, bounced it off some other colleagues. But we need to be better at writing and communicating as safety professionals during tough times like this. So what I'm getting at is Grammarly actually sent a 2020 recap. And what was interesting was they looked at writing in 2020 from all Grammarly users, right? They kind of looked at some trends and it was pretty interesting. Now, it's obvious the past year has changed, you know, a lot about our work life, including how we communicate to each other. And finding new ways to connect led to some shifts in the way that these Grammarly users decided to write. So here's some quick facts. In 2020, Grammarly users paid more attention to the wording and tone that they used. As we navigated a year when everything was, you know, felt fraught, you know, negative, users or writers put extra effort into not only what they said, but how they said it. So delivery and engagement were both up in their writing. The first wave of the pandemic most writing was informative, but it had increased in informative types of writing, but very low optimistic writing. So remember, the first wave of the pandemic, optimistic and informative tones were inverse, right? They took an inverse relationship right around March. Grammarly users writing to inform expressed less optimism than they had previously. That's key. So when stuff starts to unfold or starts to happen early on, we can be mindful to not lose that optimistic tone. We could still inform and be optimistic. We didn't know a whole lot about COVID-19 back then, but what we do know now, looking back, can help us moving forward. And that is, it's okay to say we don't know a whole lot, but here's what we can do together. Here's what we can do going forward and, you know, increase that optimistic tone. In the fall, Grammarly users shifted in a more casual direction. Formal writing decreased 91% compared to the beginning of the year. They did, however, observe a couple of spikes in formality over the course of the year, one in late May and one in early June. And then there was another one in late August and in early September. So formal writing actually decreased. What's interesting is formal writing gets less interaction, less engagement. You know, if you're writing a very technical, formal document, that does get less engagement. So that's something to consider. The uncertainty of 2020 also touched on other parts of our lives, and writing was no exception. By October, Grammarly users' writing sounded 43% less confident than it had in January. Whatever you're writing, whatever you're communicating, take a look, ask yourself, hey, am I communicating confidence? Am I communicating positivity about the future? Doesn't necessarily mean have to be positivity about what you're writing about. You could be writing about something completely horrible, but do you have something positive to convey as a result of experiencing this or continuing to go through this negative event? Do you instill confidence and positivity? Confidence was down, remember, down 43%. That's crazy. We, as safety professionals, the reason why I bring this up, looking back at 2020, is we need to be seen as leaders in the organization, right? So peer leaders, certainly, but we need to instill confidence, optimism, positivity in whatever we're writing about. You could be writing about a spike in injuries in, you know, the organization to senior team, senior leaders. And, you know, that doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, a negative reading experience for them. It could be something, you know, on the tail end is, the good news is what we learned, and this means, you know, what we're going to do going forward, and you go right into, you know, what you need to do and how positive that can be for the workforce and for the business. But, you know, as safety professionals, how are we conveying, what tone are we conveying when we write, and how are others seeing what we write? Memos, emails, reports, or how we're communicating even verbally. That's a tip for you. Grab Grammarly if you haven't already. I do. I use the pro version. What is it? I think it's called premium version, but there is a free version. So, you know, you could try Grammarly for free. You don't get a whole lot of the tools and bells and whistles, but I do the premium version. It's well worth the money if you do a lot of writing. I highly recommend it. Something else that was interesting about 2020 is, you know, Gallup had a lot of articles and surveys and data that they collected over 2020 as well. And what was interesting about Gallup, I'll pick one of them, and that is employee burnout. We learned that there is a huge myth related to employee burnout. Most employees experience burnout at work at some point, so that's no big surprise. 76% of employees experienced burnout on the job at least sometimes. Sometimes. That's crazy. So The data, the Gallup analysis showed that employees who frequently experience work burnout are 63% more likely to take a sick day and 23% more likely to visit the emergency room. So it is very connected to overall well-being. So as safety professionals, you know, we need to look for signs of burnout, not just in ourselves, but also in our peers, our managers that are partnering with us in safety, but also in our teams, and look for signs of burnout among the workers. One, because they're more likely to experience a work-related injury or illness, right? So this is important. Now, it is often assumed that occupational burnout is caused solely by overwork, just the mere hours you're putting in. The common wisdom is that in order to recover from burnout, you just work fewer hours, right? You take a vacation day or a sick day, you know, just to get to the next day, to take a break, and then boom, you're back at it. That's actually not the case. Gallup's employee burnout statistics show that the number of hours people work each week does matter, with burnout risk increasing when employees exceed 50 hours and even further, working more than 60 hours. But how employees experience their workload has a stronger influence on burnout than the actual hours worked. In fact, engaged employees who have job flexibility, they tend to work more hours per week than the average employee while reporting higher well-being. When people feel inspired and motivated and supported in their work, they do more work. And that work is significantly less stressful on their overall health and well-being. In other words, it's not just the number of hours worked, it's how you managed and how you experience work during those hours. So, the top five factors that correlate most highly with employee burnout. 1, unfair treatment at work. 2, unmanageable workload. 3, unclear communication from managers. 4, lack of manager support. And 5, unreasonable time pressure. Bottom line, the manager matters the most in this case. So, if you're managing a team, take a look at this. Take a look at those five factors that correlate with employee burnout. And how are you doing in those five? How are you communicating? How are you treating workers? How are other workers being treated by your peers? So I thought this was very interesting coming out of 2020, especially since we had, you know, the global pandemic put a huge strain on workloads for a lot of us because, one, we had to have fewer people at work in some cases, but still had to, you know, do more work. So this is key, how they were supported, how they were protected, how they were treated, probably said more about whether they were burnt out than just working more hours or additional work to do, like doing 1.5 times their normal load because we had fewer people. So I thought that was interesting, something we also learned in 2020. I wanted to touch on these two things because as safety professionals, we have such an opportunity to have a huge impact on everybody in the workplace, everybody around us. We are leaders in the organizations, okay? So how we communicate, how we write our messaging overall, does it instill confidence and inspire? Is it positive? And also how we manage our teams or how we influence others that manage teams on these five factors, you know, unfair treatment at work, unmanageable workload, unclear communication from managers, lack of manager support, and unreasonable time pressure. So those are two things. Going into 2021, I didn't want to have like this laundry list of things, like the top 10 things that, you know, we learned from 2020 going into 2021. That's too many. I got two things and they're actually related to each other. So you could probably ball it up into one thing, but these two things are, I felt looking back, and I thought long and hard over the last couple of weeks about a 2020 recap, and I think I'm going to leave it at this because this to me says more than anything else we could look at. I think we have to start with this. Yes, we need to understand the technical aspects of our job, the laws and regulations, and we're getting back into the technical safety in the next few episodes, which is great. I love that stuff. but we cannot forget the professional part of safety professional. I want to hear what you have to say. What were some big revelations professionally in growth and development for you coming out of 2020? Head on over to the Safety Pro Podcast community page. Look for the post for this episode and leave your comments. We want you to participate. It's free to join. It's free to become a community member. There is a premium membership for those who want to go deeper into safety and continue to develop themselves as a safety professional. It's $6.99 a month. What is that? A couple of cups of coffee a week, maybe, that you spend? So look, take a look at the Safety Pro Podcast community page. There's an app you can download for it as well. You'll get notified of every new post. We post the podcast there as well. So, hey, keep the feedback coming. I hope to see you over at the community site, and I will talk to you on the next Safety Pro Podcast episode.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.